I so much appreciated what you shared with us, Steve, and this is a task for me to do some editorializing. My editorial skills will need to come into play this morning, get everything to fit in. And I want to share with you a few thoughts as we come to the end of our series on Here Comes Trouble. Yes, little Taylor this week was in trouble again, as we watched her crawl around the kitchen. This week, she's not only picking up speed in her crawling, but she also happened to open one of the cupboard doors down below in the kitchen, and she managed to crawl inside. A little toddler. Let me tell you, we said again, here comes trouble. And we told her dad, you ain't seen nothing yet. I think we've all been there, right? And we've all we can all appreciate the fact that little children, as they grow a little older, they become a little more inquisitive, and sometimes they get in trouble, like we do, like I do. Sometimes I just don't have to say a word, and I'll still get in trouble. But that's the nature of the beast. We're wrapping up our series called Here Comes Trouble. And for the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the story of King Jehoshaphat, who, as we see it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where three armies come together and they conspire to attack the nation of Judah. Judah was no match. It was a small little puny part of Israel, the northern kingdom. And this massive army, three armies actually, coming against them, forming against them. And Jehoshaphat's immediate reaction, the Bible tells us, was to be terrified. And of course he would be. Who wouldn't be? You know, I was thinking the other day, as we were thinking of Veterans Day and this important day, that the Bible has an awful lot of wars in it. There's a lot of battles that have been fought. Some think, you know, the Bible ought to be a pacifistic type book. It is God's word. A great amount of the substance of the Old Testament, we see there were battles being fought. And it gets a little messy in here sometimes when you read God's word and see some of these battles that were fought back in the Old Testament. But here's one, for sure. It seems as though he came to his senses, Jehoshaphat did, and he did exactly what you and I would need to do as we face problems that are bigger than we are. And of course, that's the theme of what we're looking at these days, how to handle those problems. And what he did was sort of counterculture to the day we're living in today. It's against everything that we're told to do in our culture. He brought God into the picture. What an old-fashioned idea to bring God into the picture, to actually seek God, to actually ask him for direction. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. And that's what made him such a great king, because he was not like the other kings. There were some wild, woolly, wicked kings of Israel, but Jehoshaphat was one of the best. He brought God into the picture, and the Bible says that Jehoshaphat set himself to seek God. Now, that is certainly something that you and I, as we grow in our walks with the Lord, we learn to do, sometimes even through default. The entire people of Israel, of Judah rather, began to fast as they sought God. They bowed before God in worship, and they stood before him in praise. Remember, they bowed before him in worship. They stood in his presence in praise. Simply put, they surrendered themselves completely to God so that they wouldn't have to surrender to their enemies. Jehoshaphat learned that when you seek God, you hear from God. That when you seek Him with your entire heart, with your entire being, God does respond. And God does acknowledge it. God told Jehoshaphat exactly what to do. The first thing He told him was, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. And God told Jehoshaphat, you need to stand up to this enemy. Don't let this enemy push you around, even though they were outnumbered. Even though they didn't have a chance in the world, you need to confront your enemy face to face. You need to do it right away, and you need to do it in the spirit of faith and worship. Totally contrary to what we're told to do in this day and age of ours. And so, God would say the same thing to you and me today. He would say that He will fight the battle for us. And He went on to say in verse 15 that the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. It belongs to Him. That we don't need to fight, but we allow Him to do the fighting for us. Now, that's totally, totally off the wall when it comes to someone who is out in the world and they don't understand what that means. It just does not relate. That God will fight your battle for you? How can that be possible? He will give you victory. God giving me victory? I thought I would get victory through therapy. I thought I would get victory through medication. I thought I would get victory through group counseling. But He says, God says to Jehoshaphat, and He says to all the people of Israel, I will give you the victory. I will give you the victory. And that you need to realize that the process of trusting me is that you look at your problem square in the eye, that you don't run away from it, but you look it square in the eye, and you have the courage to say, yes, I know this problem exists, and I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to run from it. I'll meet it face to face, and I'll do it right now, and my steps will be guided by praise, because I know that in Him, I have the victory. In Him, I am more than a conqueror. In Him, I am an overcomer. And so God told Jehoshaphat to go into the wilderness and face the enemy. The story is right here in 2 Chronicles 20. And what happened next, the Bible says that as they praised God, the enemy turned on each other. They turned on each other. And they defeated themselves. They just self-imploded, if you will. Now, I don't know. I don't know too many situations in the Old Testament where that's happened before, where the army actually self-imploded. So the story begins at verse 22, if you have your Bibles. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. They were fighting among themselves. They were arguing. They were going right to it. In verse 23 it says, the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. It looks like a pretty gory, bloody situation here. And after they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah, in verse 24 says, arrived at the lookout point of the wilderness, this is Jehoshaphat's army we're talking about, all they saw were dead bodies. Can you visualize that? All they saw were dead bodies. Lying on the ground as far as they could see, not a single one of the enemy had escaped. They were all gone. They were all slaughtered. They all were self-imploded. And the Bible says that it took three full days to gather up all the plunder left on the battlefield. And then it says In verse 26, on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing. In the Valley of Blessing. Now, when I was in Israel a few years ago, we happened to go to that army of, or to that Valley of Blessing. We didn't stop. We were driving through it. And our tour guide leader says, there is what we call the Valley of Blessing, where these three armies came against Jehoshaphat and tried to defeat him, but were self-imploded. It was kind of an amazing thing to be right there where that happened all those many years ago. And so, on the fourth day, they gathered in the army in the Valley of Blessing. And it says it's still called the Valley of Blessing today. They still call it that. And here's how the story ends in verse 27 to verse 30. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat, leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. In verse 28, they marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. In verse 29, when all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. Fear of God. And look at verse 30. I mentioned verse 30 as the very first message in this series. It says, so Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. That's what God wants of every one of us, that he would give us rest on every single side. Do you realize that the catalyst for Jehoshaphat's prosperity was his decision to seek God? That's where it all began. If Jehoshaphat did not desire in his heart to seek God in a time of crisis, then all of this would not have happened. God would never have revealed himself. Those armies, those foreign armies, would never have self-destructed. Jehoshaphat was able to rule Judah in peace for years to come because he was a leader who sought God. He was a leader who trusted God. He was a leader who worshiped and obeyed God to every extent, to the fullest extent. There's a lesson there for us, that as we face the enemies of life, whatever it might be, health problems, financial problems, relationship problems, job problems, and on, that we can have the same kinds of results that Jehoshaphat had. If we're willing to take the same steps as Jehoshaphat did. This means that if you're willing to seek God, this is important. If you and I are willing to seek God and obey God, we'll walk in the favor of God. We'll walk in his favor. I want us to think just a few moments about walking in the Valley of Blessing. What I love about this story is that that this great coalition of enemies wasn't defeated by the army of Judah. The army of Judah never fired a shot, so to speak. They didn't have to use their weapons. They launched no arrows. They didn't throw any spears. There were no stones thrown, because the enemy defeated itself. That doesn't mean that the army of Judah did nothing, because it did. Because they prepared for the war, for the battle. They showed up. But more importantly, they trusted God. And they filled the air with praise and worship. They were all the time worshiping, as these three other armies were coming together to try to decide how to best proceed forward. But they didn't have to fight the battle, because God fought it for them. They didn't have to fight the battle, because God fought the battle. Now, how did God give them the victory? He let the enemy army defeat itself, as I've said already. What an amazing picture. From a distance, that army would look, those three armies would look powerful. They looked just overwhelming. They may have looked powerful, but in reality, they were just bickering among themselves. They had no leadership. They did not have the favor of God. They were bickering and they were belligerent, and instead of attacking the army, they came to attack an army which they could have destroyed easily. Easily. An army which they could have destroyed. These armies turned and they destroyed each other. They destroyed each other. And when the army of Judah arrived, they saw nothing. The army of Judah saw nothing but dead bodies everywhere. The Bible says that the army spent three full days, gathering plunder from the fallen army, from the fallen enemies. They were picking up their clothing, they were picking up their weapons, any food supplies that they had left over, and so on and so forth. Now, that plunder that we talk about, I guess that was something the people of Judah would have never gone after themselves. They weren't the ones scheming to attack and to conquer. They weren't devising plans to rob the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Maonites of their goods and supplies. They were just minding their own business. And when these enemy armies conspire to do evil against them, God says, in effect, you're not taking anything from my people today. Because you're going to have to deal with me. In fact, you're going to give to my people today. And the army of Judah spent 3 days gathering everything. It reminds me that of that verse in Proverbs, the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. So, right here, you know, I know that may seem like a little tidbit of information that we throw in here, but it's important nonetheless. You may be able to see, you may still be able to see the army on the horizon in your own life, preparing to attack, but I want you to know that the valley of blessing is coming your way. That the valley of blessing is available for you. And this is what it says in verse 15. This was a promise made to the people of Judah. And it's a promise made to you. It's a promise made to me. Where God said to Jehoshaphat and to the people of Judah, don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. And then in verse 17, take your positions, he says. Hold, stand fast your position. Stand still and watch the Lord's victory, because he is with you. Now, let me just share three things very briefly about this, I think, how they apply. Number one, even if you can't conquer a problem in your own power, and we all have problems, don't we? We all have issues. Even if we can't conquer a problem in our own power, we can choose to outlast that problem. And that often brings the same result. You see, what happened, the big difference right here was that the people of Judah outlasted the problem. And that's because many situations are able to resolve themselves. And here, in this situation, it resolved itself. If we just allow them the opportunity to run their course. Sometimes these problems get in the way and they try to knock us down. And sometimes we need to just ride it out in faith, believing God, trusting Him for the outcome. Let me explain what I mean. There will be times, and we've all faced them. I have, and you have already, I'm sure. There will be times when we have problems that we cannot conquer, that we have no control over. But we can choose to outlast those problems. We can choose to outlast them. We can choose to hang in there, to see it through. Now, the army of the other armies, they gave up. They gave up. They threw in the towel. They started fighting with one another. They began to self-implode. And sometimes that's what we do when we become frustrated. We throw in the towel. We say, what's the use? What good will it do? It doesn't mean that we don't do anything and we wait for the problem to fix itself. It does mean that we continue to pray. It does mean that we continue to trust. It does mean that we continue to praise God. And it does mean that we continue to put ourselves in position for God to work out His perfect will and His perfect plan in our lives. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, what was it, the Patriots played the Denver team in the Super Bowl. Remember that? Right at the very end, everybody thought that Denver had it all taken care of. They had it all wrapped up. That for certain, the Patriots were going to lose. And then all of a sudden was that miraculous throw that was made by Tom Brady. And I forget who the other guy was, but at the very last 10 seconds of the game, he caught the ball, went in, and scored the winning touchdown. You know, I'm sure the Patriots were a little bit discouraged. They were probably thinking, we're going to lose this. But it was it was the best football game I ever watched. It really was. That the last time the Patriots won the Super Bowl. It was an amazing game. And it's kind of like that in our Christian lives as well. Sometimes we give up. And all of a sudden we throw a Hail Mary. And when we throw that Hail Mary, we don't know what's going to happen. But sometimes God has it all planned out that we can get across the finish line and be the victors. You see, there's that kind of strategy that we stay faithful, that we stay consistent, that we keep walking with God. As my old professor used to say back in college, that we just keep on keeping on. I offer that as a bit of encouragement because there are some of you that just maybe even today you feel like quitting. In some things. There's some situations that has come to your way, no fault of yourself, but situations that have come that you just don't want to deal with anymore. God says, keep on keeping on. Because right there, you in the valley of blessing, you will discover my blessing. Second thing, the valley of blessing is a place of praise and thanksgiving. You know, one of the things that really motivated the army of Jehoshaphat was that they were all the time praising God. They were all the time worshiping God. On verse 26, the people praise and thank the Lord. And that's why, even to this day, it's called the Valley of Blessing. You know, the common denominator in these three messages I've shared with you is the fact that all the time they were involved in praise. All the time they were involved in thanksgiving. In week one, we saw that the people of Judah in praise and worship as they sought the Lord. Last week, we looked at the fact that they were going into the battlefield. And as they were going into the battlefield, they were singing songs of praise, charting their course. And today, having won the victory, knowing that the victory was theirs by God's help, they gathered the spoils. They were filled with praise. They were filled with thanksgiving for the goodness of God. And then in verse 27, it says they marched into Jerusalem. They were marching into Jerusalem triumphantly. And what were they doing as they were marching into Jerusalem? There was the music of harps. There was lyres, there was trumpets. And the first thing they do It says they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. They proceeded there to worship Him. In every situation, whether it's good, whether it's bad, God wants your response to be praise, to be praising Him. You know, all right, yeah, you hit your thumb with a hammer. Oh, praise Jesus. Or you knock, fall down. You knock yourself out. Oh, praise Jesus. Is that what you're talking about? Well, you know, God takes all of those situations, the good and the bad, and He still wants us to be praising Him. It's hard to praise Jesus when things are going bad. It's hard to be praising Him when the tide seems to be coming the other direction, away from what you want to see. So we're to praise Him when we seek His help. Praise Him when you're stepping out in faith. We're to praise Him when He's given you the victory. And I think, for the most part, many of us have experienced victory. Many of us have experienced victory. And we have failed to praise Him because of it. Many of us have been blessed beyond what we can imagine. And we have neglected to give Him thanks. We have neglected to give Him praise. Now, next week, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And we want to be able to do that. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. That God is pleased when His people praise Him. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, to be thankful." And this is sometimes where I think we drop the ball. And here's the third thing, the final thing that we see, that when you've been to the Valley of Blessings, other people will take notice. Other people. The greatest witness that you can have in your life is how you handle difficulty. It's how you handle problems. The greatest witness you have for a non-believer, someone who is outside of Jesus Christ, is how you do life when the going gets tough. When your back is against the wall. When things are just not going the way you want it to go. When there is opposition. When there's turmoil. When there's strife. When you come out praising Jesus. Verse 29 says, "When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord Himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of the Lord came over them." They did nothing but implant the fear of God into those who witnessed this great event. And then in verse 30, "So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side." The Valley of Blessing will include that rest. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. Come ye who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." These three armies conspired to attack Judah because they thought Judah was weak. They thought Judah was vulnerable. But God wanted to demonstrate His power. God wanted to demonstrate to all the other kingdoms that Judah wasn't weak. That Judah was not vulnerable. They were in fact strong, mighty, powerful in the arms of God, in the hands of God. Sometimes your problems may seem more public than you want them to be. None of us want to go around telling all our problems to everybody. We don't want to, you know, share the whole world with some of those inner trials, those inner issues that we face. We don't want to do that necessarily. Sometimes they do become public, and sometimes it can be an amazing witness. We don't like these things to be public, but it does have one advantage, that public battles lead to public victories. And God can bless and God can use you in ways to touch other people that you cannot imagine. I mean, there's so many different illustrations of that happening. Many different ways it does happen. So, little Taylor turns 11 months old tomorrow. And she's going to be pursuant to her nature, getting into trouble from time to time. And she will. But you know, she has wonderful parents that love her, that pray for her. But eventually, she will learn the lessons of life, that the battle is not hers, but it belongs to God. She will learn that Jesus Christ loves her, and she can claim that victory. And you can claim it as well. And we can say, instead of saying, here comes trouble, we can say, here comes victory. Instead of saying, here comes trouble, we can say, here comes blessing. Instead of saying, here comes trouble, we can say, here comes God's peace in my life. Because here comes Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of my faith. So, let me ask you, is there any storm that's approaching you right now? Is there any enemy that's coming, marching towards you? Is there anything you're dealing with in your life right now that you think at this present time could knock you over and do you in? Do what Jehoshaphat did. Seek God. Surrender your all to Him. Remember that the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Give it over to Him. Trust Him. Trust Him enough to walk in obedience, to stand firm until that victory comes in an amazing way. And then remember to thank God, to give Him thanks in every situation, to thank Him loudly and often from the bottom of your heart, instead of just living from battle to battle. You will find yourself living from victory to victory. And like Jehoshaphat, you will live in peace, and God will give you rest on every side. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful lesson of Jehoshaphat and for your word. Thank you, Lord, that when trouble comes our way, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a friend who loves us, who gave Himself for us. Instead of facing trouble, Lord, we can face victory. And we can know the blessing of that victory in our lives. And so, Lord, whatever trials we face and whatever situations we're in, we know, Lord, that Yours is the victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There's an old hymn. It has a military type flavor to it. And it asks the question, who is on the Lord's side?